When John Grisham wrote his book, A Painted House, he was drawing very much on his own upbringing, so nothing much happens in the story, but he's got some wonderful observations about the churches, because he was scrubbed and made to go to church every Sunday. And he was a Baptist, and he knew that Baptists were superior because they had harder pews, they had longer services, and preachers who yelled at them more, and they spent more time at church. So therefore, Baptists were better. But he did admit that Methodists were better dressed, and his friend, Ricky, I think he was going to become a Catholic when he was older because they only went once a week. So here we are. How do we judge? How do we know God? When John was writing, he was very familiar with the ancient Greek theology, and that was very intellectual. It was all the arguments for and against the existence of God, and nothing else was allowed to come in. It was fact. And then later, they changed that, and it all became very much a case of building up emotion in people and feeling. And here John is saying, but we as Christians, we know God. We don't just understand that he is. We don't just feel him. We know that he is speaking to our inmost needs, that he is filling us and directing our lives, that we are knowing God day by day. And he makes it quite clear that Christianity is an ethical belief. It should show in our way of life. Whenever we read that passage about I've become a clanging cymbal, I'm afraid I think of politicians without love. rather naughty. But can you imagine that if we had a vegan cook on television with a wonderful series that got lots of people to become vegans and wonderful vegan recipes? If you know any, let me know. And we saw him or her walking down the street eking a pork pie one day, we would question their beliefs, wouldn't we? And yet we as Christians are quite happy to drift around the world, not always remembering that we are under the instruction of God. And we know him, firstly, if we keep his commandments. Lang Lang the pianist is perhaps one of the top international concert pianists of the time. And he still practices 4 hours a day, at least, presumably more, if he's got a concert coming up. I do not do 4 hours practice a day. 4 minutes is more like it. And a sportsman doesn't just turn up and do a marathon. They start with doing shorter runs, and they warm up before they actually get there, and they practice and practice and practice. And yet we as Christians often don't think about whether we are practicing the commandments of God in our lives. And so also we should reflect the character of Christ. Corrie ten Boom, as many of you will know, was a watchmaker until she was 53. And then when the Germans moved into Holland, she helped to hide some Jews and was eventually arrested and sent to a concentration camp where she saw terrible things and her beloved sister died. And she went round the world afterwards talking about her experiences and what God had done for her. One of the deacons from one of our churches shared a railway carriage with her after she had spoken at a conference, and she realised that she'd lost her pen. So her instant reaction was to say, "Lord, send me another pen." And it was a Parker. And then another time she was in Russia, and the maid who was servicing her room in the hotel didn't speak any English. Corrie didn't speak any Russian. But the girl made it quite clear that she wanted a Bible to read. And so Corrie got her a Bible and gave it to her. And as the girl left the room, Corrie ten Boom prayed and claimed her for Christ. And then she thought, I'll claim the whole of Russia while I'm here. And I mean, perhaps she was right, because we've seen tremendous things happening in the Christian church in Russia since those days. We should reflect the character of Christ. And she found most difficult when she had spoken at a meeting and a man came up towards her and held out his hand to shake hands with her. And she realized that he had been one of the guards at the concentration camp. And she felt that she couldn't possibly shake hands with him. And then she remembered that Christ had died for her and lifted his arms for her. And so she reached out her hand, and as she did so, she felt the forgiveness flow through her. And it flows both ways. Not only does the new Christian know that they are forgiven, but she knew a new dimension of forgiveness because she had practiced forgiveness. And then John also says that we know we are following Christ if we love one another. Tony's first ministry was in parts of Manchester where the slum clearance was going on and whole streets were moved at once. So one of the churches there had a Sunday school of 60 one week and none the next because they'd all been rehoused. And the first ministry he had was bringing two churches together to be one. And they didn't really want to be one church. And so it was dreadful. I said, why are you covering the Bible with a piece of plastic? He said, well, they cover their organ with a piece of plastic, so we're covering our Bible with a piece. And it went on like that. And there was no great love there, no great desire, really, to go forward. And then the second ministry was where five churches were coming together into one, three main churches. One, they said, had the money, one had the people, and the other one had the building. Now, the one that had the money, there were only a handful of people left because the slum clearance had taken part there. The one that had the people, the building was falling down and was very sound. They had heard... I've forgotten. There was a great preacher who'd gone there and led a revival, and they still talked about how... They said, 10,000 are his texts, but all his sermons won. Christ died for you. You are forgiven. He loves you. That's it. And the other one was extremely liberal, a sort of, let's have another pantomime church rather than studying the Bible. And yet when they came together, because there was a great desire to go forward and to change things, there was a wonderful atmosphere of love. And the congregation went up to over 200. And eventually one of the deacons from the... When they dug the deeds out to actually bring them together, they discovered that the liberal pantomime church was actually strict and particular. Oh dear. So they buried the deeds and got some new ones from the Baptist Union. But eventually, one of the deacons from the liberal church could say to the stalwarts of the holy church, you know, when you used to talk about being holy, I used to go cold all over, but now I know what you mean. And they became great friends, and great were the jokes amongst them, because they loved each other. And they forgave what was past and moved forward. Because as John is saying in the second chapter of 1 John, which is on page 1225, he's saying, we're bringing up not new commandments, but an old one. It's in the Old Testament, love your neighbour. But Jesus gives it a completely new dimension. 1 John chapter 2. My dear children, and when John writes, my dear children, he's not talking to under 10s, he's talking to his whole flock that he's wishing to approach. I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks round in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so we have the words of eternal life. We have the words of truth, that our sins are forgiven, that we can seek God and know him. And if we follow his way, then we will know his peace and his joy day by day and be surrounded by his love. Amen. Yes.
I really do need to tell you this. I've been sat here this morning looking at the communion table and looking at God in absolute bliss, looking at this table and seeing God directly in the table. And everything we've been talking about this morning about this connectedness with love, about love for each other, about love being the most important thing in the world. Look at the table and what do you see? And I've been thinking this morning that table began by God creating the universe. And in that universe, there's an oak tree. And that oak tree lived because God created rain and he created soil. And then man learnt to cut the oak tree. So one man invented a saw and he cut down the tree. And then another man invented a plane and he planed it. And the guy that made the table is connected to all these people. And then a man created a chisel to make the hole that the stakes go through. And we've got to realise that everything is interconnected. We're all connected to God. That table represents God. Everything that his work has been throughout creating the universe, and the love that he's given to people, and the skills that he's given to people is reflected in that table. And I think that sin is not being able to see that. It's just walking through life and saying, oh, it's a table. Yeah. It's God's table. It's God's work. It is profound. And we've lost it. But anyway, I hope we do get it, because I got it this morning.